This week on Inside the FLX, we go one-on-one with the candidates for Seneca Falls Supervisor, the at-large positions that serve on the Seneca County Board of Supervisors, but don't work on town government. From FL1 News, this is episode 196 of Inside the FLX. Today, we catch up with the Republicans running for county supervisor in Seneca Falls. Earlier in the fall, the Democrats, Rachel Weil and Sue Savageau, were in studio. That episode is online now and available at fingerlakes1.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. In part two of this episode today, you're going to be hearing from Paul Kronenwetter. In part one, you heard from Republican Ralph Lott. Both are Republicans, of course, and will challenge the two Democrats to continue representing on the county board. Before we get to that conversation, though, I'd like to say thank you to the thousands who are listening to these podcasts every single week. It means a lot. We have a couple quick favors to ask after you're finished listening today. First, rate and review the podcast if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or using an iPhone to listen. The show is available on Spotify, YouTube, Anchor, and the TuneIn Radio app as well. You can follow us on all of those platforms so you never miss another episode. Second, if you can, visit patreon.com/FL1 and become a monthly subscriber to us. There aren't any paywalls or subscription requirements, but becoming a monthly patron means that programming like this can continue without interruption well into the next year. The whole team who works on the show and everything else at fingerlakes1.com thanks you for your support. All right, a quick break and then my conversation with Paul Kronenwetter. Today's episode is brought to you by Herman Brothers Furniture Store. Tired of the big box approach to furniture shopping? Stomp in to Herman Brothers Store located in downtown Lyons and see how they've been doing it since 1945. Herman Brothers carries one of the largest selections of furniture, appliances, and mattresses between Rochester and Syracuse. And even better, Herman Brothers services all of the furniture and appliances they sell. It's the honesty, integrity, and reliability that they've been delivering for 74 years. Stop in, shop online, or give Herman Brothers a call to learn more about their low prices, free layaway, interest-free financing, and no credit needed financing. They even offer same-day or next-day delivery in most cases. Visit HermanBrothersLyons.com or call 315-946-4831 today. All right, welcome back to Inside the FLX. My guest this hour in studio with us is Paul Kronenwetter. So for those who might not know you, give us a little bit of background on yourself and how you found the role that you're now filling as a county supervisor.
Well, first of all, excuse the beard, but as soon as I leave here, I have to hurry up and get back to the North Pole and help my elves make the toys for all the good little boys and girls around the world. But I moved here October 31st, 1964. There was a wave of people from Emporium, Pennsylvania. They closed the Sylvania plant down there. Several families got transferred up here. And I went to eighth grade in this building. And graduated from Miners Academy in 1969. Great class. Mike Nazzolio, Dennis Bender, myself. Mm-hmm. But went to college for a couple of years and went into construction. I worked at Gould's, I worked at Sylvania, and that I just had to be outside. So I started as a laborer for Warren Brothers, the largest heavy and highway company in the country, and ended up as superintendent. I was superintendent for the New York Chiropractic College renovation. I was in charge of all the 275 dorm rooms and all the site work, all the parking lots and mm-hmm. moving trees and stuff like that. And part of being a superintendent is you're dealing with all different trades and you solve problems. That's your job. Everybody comes to you with a problem, you solve the problems. And I got started in politics in the mid-80s when there was a referendum for a sewer line along Lower Lake Road. Mm-hmm. I moved down there shortly after high school and lived there ever since. Spent 50 years on Lower Lake Road. Owned three different houses. And the referendum for a sewer line failed in 1968 by just a few votes. So it came back up for a referendum in the 80s. My girlfriend at the time was a fantastic artist, and Bob Rosencrantz, rest his soul, donated some sheets of plywood, and I made billboards with an owl sitting on a toilet in the lake that says, "Give a hoot, don't bloop, vote yes for the referendum." And it passed 3-1. And prior to that, all those cottages had a holding tank, and then it went into the lakes. I would love to see a sewer line all the way around the lakes. But that's how I got involved in politics. Al Morehouse, you know, says, "Why don't you run if you're this involved?" So that's where I got involved. I bought my first house on Lower Lake Road in 1973. In 85, I built a log home on 6 acres between Lower Lake Road and 89, and I kept my lake house, rented that, and I bought another house that I right next to the New York Chiropractic College's property on the lake, and I rented that. And 6 years ago, I was 62, wanted to retire, sold everything, and moved back to a little cottage right on the water again. That's my retirement home. But I've always been involved in Seneca County. I have 10 years experience, 4 years on the town board, and 6 years on the county board. And there's lots of great things going on in Seneca County.
And a lot of folks would probably be curious, given how tumultuous and given how much controversy seems to follow local boards, what makes you want to stay involved in local politics, and what makes you stay driven working on a board that sometimes doesn't work the best together?
A complete lack of sense.
To put it bluntly.
I'm for the working class people in Seneca Falls, the families that are living paycheck to paycheck. They have to pay the taxes, you know, in their escrow every month, and been there, done that, and I try to do the best job I can.
What are the things that you are hearing most from voters as you go, as you talk to different folks and stop at campaign stops and go door to door? What are the things that you're hearing most from people as the biggest issues that they want to see the county tackle or deal with?
Well, economic development, and to me, it's the HABs, you know, and of course there's the landfill, you know, which is unfortunate that so much energy and divisiveness is about the landfill. The county board doesn't have a lot of say on that. The local law is a town law, mm-hmm. you know, and they're the ones that are going to enforce it. But I think it'll be in the courts for a while before you see any landfill closing.
So. And I'm glad you mentioned HABs, because that has been historically one of the issues that doesn't quite get as much talk time on the county board as some probably think it should. When you look at the HABs issue and then look forward at what the county can do, what would you like to see the county board work toward over the next 2 years to maybe make some headway there?
When I got on the county board here 4 years ago, I asked about the dues to the Cougar Lake Watershed Intermunicipal Organization, which is all the counties surrounding the, you know, in the watershed, Cougar Lake's watershed. And I was told that their statement is $900 a year dues for the municipalities in the watershed. I was told, well, we were instructed just to put this in the circular file. And I said, pay the dues. And then I'm also a member of the Cougar Lake Watershed Network. they're the ones monitoring it. The intermunicipal organization is trying to draft rules and regulations for the watershed. And that's exciting to me. The Owasco Lake watershed is putting together rules, watershed rules and regulations. And right now everything's voluntary. There's a right to farm. Our soil and water is doing a great job with their limited resources on contacting the farmers and steering them towards best management practices to keep the E. coli and pesticides and fertilizers out of the watershed. Of course, Cornell has a geothermal system for their campus that warms the lake, but you don't want to talk about that. Mm-hmm. And but if we can continue to minimize runoffs into the lakes, the water's warming, but the nutrients are already there. That's a problem. So the weed harvesting, we had a change in leadership in the Soil and Water Department, and Aaron's doing a great job. But our weed harvester was broken last year, and we weren't sure how much it cost, where to get it fixed. And we talked about it, and she contacted Cayuga County, and they have a weed harvester with a chase boat behind it. So when the harvester's full, it can unload onto a barge that can speed back to the loading ramp, so the harvester keeps working. And they did a fantastic job in a short period of time. There's state monies available for shared services. We don't have to pay somebody and maintain a machine. I'd love to see it continue. I think it's in the budget for this coming year. But they did a great job in a short period of time. And that's one of the governor's initiatives is shared services.
To that end, it's been dabbled in a little bit at the county level to try and find some different ways that money could be saved through working together with different intermunicipal partnerships. Is that well running dry, or there? Because that's one of the debates that's been happening in the background is that counties like Seneca are already sharing services as much as they possibly can. But the governor seems to think that there's more opportunity. Is that something where you think that the county could find a couple more ways maybe that it could work with other municipalities or towns or other counties neighboring to save a dollar or two?
We do have, just when this initiative came out a couple of years ago, we did have shared snow plowing and mowing and stuff between some of the towns, Fayette and Lodi and stuff. Where, you know, there was money savings there. And then the state reimburses you a percent of what you save.
Right.
So that's their incentive. But there's not a lot of meat on the bone there. But it is, when you have 10 towns in this county and 10 highway departments and 10 judicial systems, you know, I think it's redundant myself. So.
When you alluded to it a little bit earlier, I want to give you a chance to expand on it some. When you see the landfill issue debated next to something like the Habs issue, where one is getting a lot more face time than the other, and yet the County Board of Supervisors doesn't have nearly as much work room to be able to do as much on the issue that is getting a lot more talk time. Is there a frustration there with how that sort of continues despite the opportunity that's on the table to really make a difference on the HAB side if the board were to come together and start to think about some different ways that they could approach that problem in the future?
Yeah. As far as landfill goes, you know, they're not polluting the lakes. Like, there's 30 years of study between the Cayuga Lake Intermunicipal Organization, the Finger Lakes Institute, Cornell, that 92% of the nutrients in the lakes are from agricultural runoff. Do you want to close down all the wineries and all the farms? You know, I mean, there's trade-offs everywhere. Mm-hmm. And the people are screaming about, you know, toxic gases coming from the landfill. Well, it's just not true. The Seneca Falls Environmental Action Committee did their own air samples in 2013 and 2018, and they couldn't find any harmful gases. The DEC monitors it on a regular basis. The Waterloo High School monitors it. The leachate goes through a reverse osmosis program at the landfill before it goes through the wastewater treatment plant here. And talking with Joe Tulo, there's no issues. A little bit of ammonia, but they can handle it. And it's only operating at about 40% capacity. When they first built the wastewater treatment plant, they had problems with the solids, mm-hmm. not enough flow, you know. So right. Even with everything running, Del Lago and the outlet mall and the thruway rest area across the thruway from the outlet mall, it's still only running at 40%. Mm-hmm. So added leachate, it meets all standards for materials acceptable in a municipal wastewater treatment plant, and they could use the flow.
You mentioned the 318 corridor. Of course, the county just finished up or is near finishing up a sewer line expansion out there. Good, bad, or indifferent, what's your outlook on that now that it's done and behind? Obviously, it took the county a long time to get that across the finish line.
Right.
What's your feeling on it now and how that sort of positions that corridor in terms of economic development?
Well, 20 years ago when I was on, the, at least 20 years ago, when the developer for the outlet mall came to the board and wanted $225,000 for a turning lane off of Route 318. And it was Dave Bagley, he owned Bagley Wineries. He and I were the ones talking to the developer, and the rest of the board said, we're not going to spend that kind of money for some strip mall. It's going to be out of business in a couple of years. And but this company had a real good track record. We looked at they had two of them operating in Pennsylvania, and they guaranteed us $3.2 million sales tax revenue the first year. So I said, $228,000 is chump change, you know, if they're guaranteeing us $3.2 million. Of course, that was the headlines in the paper. Crown & Wetter says $225,000 is chump change, you know, but it was. In retrospect, we've been getting $6 million a year sales tax from that mall for 20 years.
Yeah.
And it was a good investment. Now, no other development there between two thruway exits, you know, the heart of the Finger Lakes. No sewer line up there. A restaurant, every other outlet mall, there's a dozen restaurants around it. Mm-hmm. Without a sewer line, you can't have a septic tank, won't even hold the dishwasher, you know, yes. for a restaurant. So the sewer line, I think, it was a long time coming, and a lot of addendums, but it's up and running in full operation, and we have Love Travel Centers. If you've ever been down south, they're a real prominent travel center that has restaurants, retail, and fuel stations, and they're very excited and very interested in opening up a travel center right on the corner of 318 and 414. And they've talked with the planning board entire, and they've been very receptive, so that's going to be a big deal, and I hope we can pull it off. So.
And of course, Some folks who are listening who might be from the southern end of the county are probably still asking, and it seems to be the age-old question that the county has trouble navigating and dealing with, but economic development or even just getting services into the southern end of the county appears to be a challenge at best, or it seems to be something that is just completely disregarded at worst. What do you see as some of the options for Seneca County and what the Board of Supervisors can do in its capacity to continue helping and bolstering what the South County has at its fingertips moving forward?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's for the last 4 years, every committee meeting and board meeting ends up arguing over the sewer and water in the south end of the county. Mm-hmm. Last Tuesday, we passed the Seneca County sewer use law through the committee. Mm-hmm. And there's still a few details on rates for the individual towns, but to have Romulus and Fayette and Varick agree, it was a beautiful thing. And
it didn't take an act of Congress.
Yeah.
It just happened.
It's a, you know, it's the step that we look for. It's right here. It's our sewer use law. But it's, you know, it's...
Is that the groundwork?
Yeah.
Is that sort of the step one,
right,
is getting the sewer
use
law down?
Well, it's more than the step one. We had a wrench in our plans when Hillside pulled out. Mm-hmm. We have a consolidated sewer district there. We were going to run Hillside and Five Points, and then Hillside just kind of disappeared, and so they only had a few kids there, and that was the only campus that they leased. They owned nine other campuses. So for good reason, their lease was up in March, so they moved the end of August. But now we're looking at Five Points and Willard consolidating, upgrading those two, and going from there. We agreed on rates, you know, for the county, you know, for all the different county level, mm-hmm, sewer line. We're in charge of all the sewers down there. The towns are in charge of the rates they charge. But it's very equitable. What it costs you to operate it, that's what the fees divided by how many people. It's real simple. I think it's a great step in the right direction. And as far as tourism down there, the Seneca White Deer development, I was a believer in that mission for quite a while. I volunteered my time down there and got it up and running. We celebrated our 10,000th visitor there this June. We had a fall festival on October 5th. It was very successful. We had 380 runners on the 13K and the 5K. I think it was 13K and a 10K and a 5K. But that's a start for economic development on the south end. And with Samson, the Sesslers did a beautiful job on Samson State Park. They want to expand there. They're even talking a hotel down there. Mm-hmm. And so there's light at the end of the tunnel for the south end of Seneca County.
One of the issues that had been a pretty big deal for about 2 years, it seemed, was the sort of the turnover that the county was experiencing on the personnel side. Steps were taken. The Board of Supervisors took some steps, renegotiated some contracts, and it seems like things have improved. Is that the feeling that you guys have moving forward now, that you're in a better place?
Right, absolutely. We got 3-year contracts signed with all of our employees, union and non-union. They're getting a very generous raise. We wanted to be competitive with the surrounding counties. You know, we realized we would spend the time and effort to train them, and the next county would offer them more money. So we stepped up to the plate without raising taxes and gave everybody in a county a 3% raise for 3 years. You know, they're all getting like a 10% raise. We're very competitive with the surrounding counties. So we should see a lot less turnover.
And of course, my last question for you here, if anybody wants to learn more about your campaign, obviously we're into early voting territory now.
I voted yesterday.
You voted yesterday, especially once this goes live on Thursday. Where can folks learn more about your campaign or get a hold of you?
I have a Facebook page. Type in Paul Cronawetter. It's not all politics. It's
right.
My personal Facebook page. But I just wanted to bring up the budget. We have, was brought up at the last board meeting, that when they say the people are leaving, all the doom and gloom, I just don't see it. Our sales tax was up $1.6 million. Mm-hmm. There's a housing shortage in all price ranges. If you Google Zillow, they have the little dotted line that's projected to go up 4% next year. And I think Seneca County's doing great. And look forward to our new economic development plan. This was just released last week or week before, but the steering committee for this process was Shannon Brock from Silver Thread Vineyards, Steve Brusso from Evans Cosmetics and Manufacturing and the IDA, Emily Hellmeyer from the banking, LNB, finance and services industry, Ralph Lott, agricultural industry, and he's on the board of supervisors. Todd McKinsky is a Standing Stone Vineyard former owner, and he's on the wine and agricultural tourism, and he's on the board, the IDA board. And Robert McKevany is the Seneca Falls Central School District. Mike Nozzolio from Harris Beach and a former State Center Economic Development, located Finger Lakes. Mitch Rowe is our Seneca County Manager. Karen Springmeyer, Finger Lakes Workforce Development, and Jeff Shipley, a Chamber of Commerce, and Laura Turbide, the Finger Lakes Health, the healthcare industry. Now that's a great group of people that spent a year interviewing people. You know, they identified our strengths and weaknesses, and we want to develop it into, basically the IDA would be a one-stop shopping for any current businesses or future businesses, for all the codes and zoning and all the headaches it takes to open up a business here in Seneca County. We want to streamline all that and make it much more business friendly.
Appreciate the time, Supervisor. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.